From San Francisco, California, this is Mostly Music. And now, your host, Ignatius Palafox, and the Low Spark.
Thank you for joining us once again.
We're back.
Sorry, I'm just enraptured by Mary Lou Williams here.
Mary Lou Williams, pianist?
Pianist, jazz, stride pianist, extraordinaire. And I am joined by another amazing keyboardist, pianist, extraordinaire, Vincey Vibe. Vincey, say hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Shalom. Welcome.
It's a special edition. We actually have a real musician in the house tonight, so.
Who, me?
Yeah, finally. Shit. Some real talent in the room.
Yeah, who, me? I'm kidding.
Yeah, you. Yes. You're going to class this joint up a little bit for us. Legitimize the whole affair.
Here. A little bit.
Happy to be here.
Tell us about Miss Williams.
Mary Lou Williams, born in Georgia, but grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
One of 11 kids, wow. I believe, something crazy like that. But she's just sort of thought to be like, you know, the godmother of the jazz piano.
Jazz swing?
She's born in 1910. Wow. Not even really swing, you know. So she kind of, her and like Duke Ellington kind of popularized like stride piano, which is...
Yes.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's kind of ragtimey, but without all the rules and without any sort of... idea of it has to be like this or that. So yeah, so basically like the left hand. Well, you should know more than I do. But I do,
but none of these names are popping in my head as readily as they typically are.
It's a very sort of offbeat way to play with your left hand, whereas you would only just be playing one chord. A lot of times you'll play the two bass notes and then the chord with the left hand. And so it's a lot more free.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it gives you that jazzy sound that we all sort of know and are kind of used to now, but back in the 30s, you know, it was different. It was very different. And so Duke Ellington was probably the most famous of that, but even like Jelly Roll Morton.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
He praised Mary Lou Williams. Yeah. She was cool. And she was completely self-taught. 100%. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's very rare. And it, I mean, just so to think about, we were kind of unofficially thinking about tracks for this episode, and we realized they were all women. And
nice.
And it wasn't it wasn't like on purpose. That was just sort of what's in our mind. And so it made me think how tough that must. It must have been so hard to be a female jazz musician in
yes.
the 30s and the 40s.
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
it's
yes,
unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure it's hard now,
as
I'm sure you can attest, playing with all men. Right?
Yes.
And sorry, please
come in.
Tell me
what
you're working on, your band. I believe you have two bands.
I have two bands. I've always prided myself to be like one foot in each world kind of thing. So I'm born from Hong Kong. I came through here, and I picked up on jazz in a restaurant setting. They house music every night, so wantonly or not, I learned all about jazz. And it's part of my repertoire now. And I do more of a solo project on my own. That would be Vincey and Her Groove Sector. And then I just became part of a rock setup. And they're under the name of Early Monarchs. And we've just started. And the background of these guys are... you know, more rock, punk rock. One of the bass player, Ryan Cruz, played with Omissa.
Omissa.
Oh, my God, you know, awesome. So they think they sold out at Toots Tavern last month.
Nice.
And, so we'll be playing there next month, February 9th. And that's my hometown, which is kind of
really strange.
It's
going to be a big turnout. You're going to have a lot of...
I don't know what's going to happen. It should be pretty interesting.
Vocals and keys?
I do more vocals for that band.
Okay.
I write the music for my band, and I work with a group of amazing guys, and they're from different backgrounds. So this is very different than the Early Monarchs project. And I do lead vocals for them, and I'm minorly playing keys on a couple of bridges, but
Is there another keyboardist or?
No, there's a sequencer. There's a drummer, and then there's Andy Lunder on guitar, and then there's a bassist, Ryan Cruz, and Chris Snitaker, and then Matt Glick is on Yai's sequencer. So their music kind of sounds like U2 and Radiohead.
Okay.
And a couple other guys said it was Florence and the Machine and Interpol sounding. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting in a great way. I'm really excited. But as far as what you're saying as far being hard as a female, you know, fronting bands and whatever, I think being female and fronting anything in this day and age is still tricky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for Mary Lou, I mean, being self-taught, I'm self-taught. I mean, where else are you going to get that education, right? Other than seeking it out for yourself.
Yeah.
And doing the homework.
Just immersing yourself in the language. Yeah. Yeah. It's the only way.
And she had to do it in a sneaky way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, women were put away if you knew how to read and, you know, voted.
Witch.
Sorcery.
If they float, they're witches.
But some can fly.
So, yeah, the inspiration. I think we spoke about having, like, Ode to Sirens podcast.
That's right.
Like, the first few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the best singers in the world are obviously just women.
Yes.
Be willing to steer my ship into a
exactly.
of rocks
like
or something.
The ship of Odysseus,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, especially now with the, I think last episode we talked about, you know, potentially losing some of our artists and artists we have lost in the past couple of years, you know, all the big ones, Bowie, Prince, you know, Merle Haggard, like a lot of, like, still a long list of them. And, you know, the first couple of weeks of this year, we lost Dolores O'Riordan, lead singer of the Cranberries, unfortunately.
That's right.
Yet to be determined, you know.
You think there's foul play there?
Honestly, no. I think it's the same thing as Prince. She had ailments, apparently. Not really talked about, but she canceled the tour, suffering back problems. You get the wrong element around you, enablers, you know, and you with that got that kind of fame and background, and you're going to have people feeding you, you know.
I think it's tough to be sensitive in this arena.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, this day and age, one, all the electromagnetic fields in the air, and then being as sensitive as she is, was.
She was very, just very, just angelic. Like, that voice drew me in.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel comfortable with the Celtic side of my blood.
But with a very sharp edge.
Yeah. Well, that came later.
Well, I mean, growing up in Ireland and
the 80s, socially,
70s and 80s,
But like I was saying, I you know, honestly, whatever the circumstances were, hopefully it wasn't anything that negative. But she did leave an impact. I mean, as a kid, when you're listening to Cranberry's first album, and you know, teenage angst,
her voice, man,
amazing,
just stops you.
Yeah,
yeah,
like it's crazy,
very natural.
Yeah, she brought Celtic sound into the mainstream.
Yes.
You know, only two people done that, her and Lord of the Dance.
Well, you can't really hear
Kyle O'Reilly or something like that.
Or Sinead.
Sinead. Yeah, Sinead too.
But but she wasn't as seemingly as traditional, maybe, as
she was.
Dolores would almost like yodel. It wasn't like a yodel.
Exactly.
Similar.
There's a word for it. It's like a brogue way of yodeling. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually talked about her in an episode, I think, last year, and just about how there's not, like you were saying, it's a weird time right now to be sensitive and playing music. But in the 90s, it was very, there was music from all different kinds of places, and for better or for worse. But like, it enabled bands like the Cranberries to be hit big, to have not just one or two, but like 3, 4, 5 hits.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know if the marketplace is sort of open for that right now, or it's just everything's very direct.
I think everything, as far as the female side that I've noticed, it's more artist-based.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that group dynamic, I mean, other than Florence and the Machine, I can't think of anybody else right now. You know, female-fronted groups.
There
aren't that many. I mean, especially now.
Well, so there's what you mean, like with men behind them? Because I did. Have you heard of the Courtneys?
I have three
girls, three women.
Yeah, from Vancouver.
No, but she's talking about like the Cranberries, and you have
right.
O'Riordan, and she's like, there's the band. That's the band's name. It's not like Phoebe Bridgers and that and the band.
Right.
It's not like, you know what I mean. Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of.
So I mean,
kind of like the Pretenders.
Exactly.
You know, the, I mean, a female front. Mm-hmm. You know, but backed by. I mean, it's a group effort. You know, whereas Vincy and her Groove Sector, I'm writing the music. I should get closer.
That sounds good.
You know, I'm writing the music with that band, but with Early Monarchs, I'm just doing the vocals, not doing the entirety of the whole thing. You know, and that's the dynamic I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, female fronted and having a group effort as opposed to, you know, the female fronted being the end all be all.
I think it's cyclical, is what it is. I mean, every generation has its is up and down, especially for female fronted bands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the 90s started with, you know,
Hole,
Garbage,
Divine
Cranberries.
Yeah.
You know, bands like that.
Sonic Youth.
Sonic, Kim Gordon. Kim Gordon.
Yeah.
But she wasn't the front.
Yeah. That's true.
She was what they call negative vocal. That's a thing. It's where it would play. Somebody explain it to me. Like, there's like a science to it of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
The Sonic Youth, they're fucking very smart people in the way they like establish this whole image of themselves and what they wanted to sound like and their beliefs. And there's like a whole cultural thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the lead singer. What's his name?
Thurston Moore.
He sings the positive, like very angsty, high tensioned vocal, and then she sings the monotone female negative vocal.
That's interesting.
And it plays a balance.
Uh-huh.
And you don't get it, but it's subconscious and it has an effect.
It's a harmony.
It's like a weird harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It's like something you don't really, it's not like surface. There's no surface to it.
Mm.
But it's good. Let's you know,
a little Vincy.
No, let's just play. We will, yeah.
A little Sonic.
Let's come in with what is it? Their first single, Cranberries?
Dreams?
Linger.
Oh, Linger. Well,
I've been singing that for the last
Linger,
3 days.
Well, the thing is, I want to play Linger is because Linger is what made them break. It made them big in the U.S. before they made it big on their own soil.
That's true.
Do you want... I have it queued up. If you, I don't know if you want me to play
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, it's... Yeah, we're good.
All right. This is Linger by the Cranberries. Thank you. hear that brogue. She's so, so beautiful.
That's a good way of putting it.
So beautiful. Brogue,
yeah.
Is she doing her own harmonies? Or do you
know like
anything?
It.
Yeah.
She's what? Over track? Let's turn it up, please. I gotta hear this. You know I'm such a fool for you. Damn, dude.
I know.
Yeah. Man, what a fucking loss, dude. It's just the first one of the year.
Have you ever seen them? Has anybody in the room seen them?
No. Mm-mm. I had a chance to when I was, but I was a little too young. Yeah, I was a little too young. My brother went without me.
Yeah, because when they were touring regularly, it was probably still the mid-90s or so.
Yeah, it was a concert in Golden Gate Park, if I remember correctly.
Really?
But I think it was, who else was there? I forget, but he told me, he's like, yeah, I flipped them off and came back home. My brother's an asshole.
Yeah. Anson or something? Who was who?
No, who was it? It wasn't Radiohead. It was somebody like that. But he was like, fuck this band, and he left. Yeah,
really?
My brother, yeah, he's hardcore punk.
Oh, okay.
Well, why was he there to begin with?
Just, you know, he's a scenester. You know, he just want to go check out the scene and criticize it and walk away.
Sure.
You know how those people are.
Yeah, you know, it's the joy of being a teenager.
I got a little bit of that in me.
Yeah. Well, teenagers are always right, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I was 12.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, something like that. I forget. I was 12 and he was like 19.
Wow. What was your first concert?
My first concert? Shit. Real concert?
Yes.
I don't know. I've been trying to think about that lately. I had
this blank.
You don't remember your first concert?
Wow.
I know it's there. We talked about it last time. I just blank on it. I block a lot of things out of my childhood.
Oh.
I think it was... Was it Gay Pride?
I don't know.
It was Gay Pride, yeah. When I was like...
Does that count?
Who headlined?
Like a bunch of DJs?
I think it was Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence dancing to some random artist.
Huh. Well, yeah, you grew up in the city, so you probably were just around live music acts.
Stupid, weird shit. Yeah, it was crazy.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember my mom's friend used to play the harp for me. Does that count for anything? On my birthday. He used to dress
that
as a clown.
So cool.
Or harmonica?
The harp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where's I just saw at? On the Antiques Roadshow.
No, that's a guy.
But
it was
guy.
A gay guy.
Reed.
Yeah,
I like.
I told you this story.
I think I would remember.
For my birthday, he would dress like a clown and play the harp.
That would scar anybody.
No, it was great. I loved it.
That would scar me, and I love the harp. Not big on clowns.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Was he good?
Yeah.
As far as you remember.
Yeah. 5-year old.
Right.
Dancing around the
so
harp.
That is so cool.
That's a concert, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Personal concert.
Well, I love me some Harpo Marx, so, you know, I probably was pretty stoked when I was a kid.
Did he play?
Oh, yeah. He was really good.
What was he playing?
The harp.
No way.
Harpo
play the harp?
Yeah.
No
Harpo?
Way.
Oh, yeah, like, really well. You ever see, like, do you ever see any of the movies? Like, he plays it in most of the movies.
Yeah, but I thought he was faking
like,
it.
Duck Soup. I don't think he's faking it. I mean...
Harpo play the harp. Wow.
All the Marx Brothers were all, like, they were all... You know, like vaudeville,
right?
So they
culture.
Were all very skilled, like
Gershwin.
Chico played piano like a master, you know. And they would always work those into their movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he would play it like in a funny way, and then of course Harpo would play the harp in a
really
funny
so
way
neat.
Too.
Renaissance Jews,
and then Groucho would sing, I guess. Right? Hey, don't fuck with the Marx Brothers.
No. Yeah. Let's move it along.
Are you familiar with Rhiannon?
I'm lingering here.
Yeah. are you familiar with Rhiannon Giddens? Rhiannon Giddens?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Right, Rihanna?
Yes.
As in like...
No.
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 Didn't she just play here?
Like, oh, she did. I'm like, upset because I missed it. But
yeah.
She, North Carolina, she's like... half black, like American Indian.
Oof.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. She's really
and
gorgeous.
She's very gifted.
And she
Oof.
Very
kills
talented. It at the piano, at the banjo,
it's a siren.
Fiddle.
Oh, yeah. Fucking.
She's amazing.
Sirens.
But I just discovered her. I didn't know anything about her, but I saw her in a documentary. Actually, there's a great documentary called Rumble that just came out. It's about Native Americans in popular music and how they shaped it.
Wow.
And so, of course, it starts with Link Wray. But, you know, it goes on and on and on. And anyway, Rihanna Giddens was in there, and I fell in love. It was it's
I think
kind
you
of amazing.
Another friend of mine.
Yeah, let's listen to Julie. This is a track she wrote, but it just sounds like it could be 100 years old, you know?
Okay.
Devils have come to take you far from me. Mistress, oh mistress, I won't run, 'cause I see down yonder the soldiers have come. Mistress, oh mistress, I do see, and I'll stay right here till they come for me.
Such an old voice, you know. It's timeless.
Yeah,
really cool. Oof. She reminds me of Memphis Minnie. She wrote "When the Levee Breaks."
Oh yeah.
Yes, which I was thrilled to discover because Led Zeppelin version is so different from that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
Take
and
from
they took from everybody, of course.
Yes,
made it their own.
Borrowed heavy and
borrowed very heavy.
Yeah. Stole outright.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I guess that's what the best do. But no, yeah. So Rihanna Giddens is definitely a siren that I would
steer your ship into.
Sure. Yeah.
If you can see Adam, yeah. If you can see his face right now.
I have a big grin on my face. I don't ever see like women play banjo. I mean, I don't live in the South. Maybe I need to move. Because
I knew.
Yeah.
I dated a girl that played the saw.
So,
wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She used to perform. Her and her garage band used to perform on 16th and Mission like every Friday night.
Like a jug band?
Yeah, well, it's like they drag sofas all the way from the house, and they'd set
wow.
up their instruments and just play on the corner. They don't really do that much anymore. I guess the elements there has changed on that corner.
Yeah, it's very affluent now.
Yeah. There used to be like poetry on Friday nights.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then,
well,
like,
there's still...
Around the corner, right? In front of the BART station.
Yeah, 16th Street BART.
They still do that?
Yeah, it's like... Mm-hmm. But it's like slam poetry or...
Yeah,
like
before it used to
now.
Be like musicians, like house musicians and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
Bitch played the saw. I was like,
wow.
That's yeah. legit.
That's
I mean, anybody can make noise with the saw, but to actually make it tonal and make some music with
mm-hmm.
it is pretty rad.
Yeah. It's a weird sound.
Oh, it's super haunting.
Very eerie.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you're listening and you play the banjo, please email us at mostlymusicpodcast@gmail.com. mostlymusicpodcast@gmail.com.
Come
or if you just want to catfish me or something, that's fine too. I don't mind the hope.
The false hope of a potential meetup.
I'll live with the hope. That's fine.
Did you, Lindsay, did you bring some music to share?
I did.
What's on your mind? What are you listening to?
Are you referring to music I like or music I've been a part of, or
Either way, or music that you made a list for?
Can we play some of your music just to
if you like?
Yeah, Vinci Vibe Groove.
Vinci and Her Groove Sector. Yeah. Vinci Vibe. I guess Vinci Vibe's gonna be more in the rock arena.
It's up to you.
Whichever. It's all me.
That's all me, baby. It's all me.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I can we do a little Vinci and Her Groove Sector?
Is surely.
Okay? Sweet Surrender.
Oh, that's no. Yeah, sure, go no? Whatever you like.
City Life?
Whatever you like.
Come on.
Pick one.
Okay, you guys can do Sweet Surrender. I'll go with the siren part of things, I guess.
Yeah, perfect.
Is that okay?
You let me know.
Fits right in.
I like this. This is Vinci and Her Groove Sector. Sweet Surrender. That's amazing. What are you? Are you playing the keys?
I'm playing the keys.
It sounds like almost like a Fender Rhodes, but
I love the Fender Rhodes. Love.
But what are you playing?
Because I'm playing Nord. Yeah. I'm playing a Lord stage.
Nice.
Yeah.
God, that sounds.
I'm glad I have this pillow right here.
Are you showing right now?
I'm hiding a massive.
Are you showing?
It's rising.
I'm swelling right now.
That is very siren-esque.
All right. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Seriously. It's just a great sound. It's like, yeah.
Wow. Beautiful voice.
Oh,
perfect.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So that is in contrast to the rock side of me, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then I needed a producer that could translate all this, who has to have the backing of the many plethoras of genres that are out there. And I work with Michael Rosen, who's worked with Journey, Santana, Oscar Peterson, Aretha Franklin. You get me on this?
Nice.
Yeah.
So his scope had to be as, his net had to be as large to capture what I was looking for.
Very open.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's very open, thank God. And understands my style, thank God. So
I'm sure it's not, I'm sure they're not a dime a dozen. I'm sure it's very hard to find somebody that can
he was mentoring me, and he a great special relationship with him. So
how did you learn how to sing?
Self-taught.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that,
you just have a knack as a
that,
voice?
Because yeah.
You have a very sultral, natural talking
yeah.
voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that
I
translating. Actually, your music's a little more high-pitched. Like, it's more piercing.
Yeah.
And then your talking voice is very sultry, so it's...
1 foot in each.
So it's a lot of range. That's
yeah,
range. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I have one range.
We have yeah. other stuff we can listen to?
I have no range.
Later yeah. in the episode, we can
absolutely.
Hear like the other side of you, too?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
For sure.
Yeah, so this came... The vibe came before the rock, or what do you think?
I think the vibe came...
Was that sort of like the... like?
I think
that,
I was
the,
definitely more yeah. rock-based growing
oh, okay.
up, you
yeah.
know, but it was more that blue-eyed soul but rock and soul tip.
That's his favorite.
Because I'm both. Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Kindred. Love it.
Kindred. Don't look at my
What's that? Don't look at your what?
Nothing. Back to my Manhattan.
So, like, because I'm curious, like, so when you were just learning to play, you were mainly learning from, based on rock music, you think?
I think whatever was on the radio. Yeah. My first memory of music was listening to Bossa Nova on Hong Kong radio.
Wow.
And I remember that beat because got me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. And it was, I didn't know what American music was. I barely knew who Elvis Presley was, you know. And I remember hearing the soul music on Sesame Street. That was my introduction.
Really?
Yeah, you know, because their music was really soul-esque, right?
Yeah.
And then when I came to the States, it was like the only way I can connect with people was through music on the radio. And so whatever was on the radio, and I love Hall & Oates. Love Hall & Oates. And they... Actually, Daryl Hall actually kind of opened my eyes and education of soul, you know, because they...
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, because they're...
A lot of people wouldn't give him that credit. They wouldn't give him that credit.
A lot of people wouldn't, but I don't think a lot of people realize where they came from. They're stacked with soul. You know, Temptations took them in and, you know, kind of walked them through their first, was it the Shark's Fin Suits?
Shark's Fin Suits.
Yeah, Hall & Oates' first band was called the Temptones, and they...
Really? Yeah, I did not know that.
I'm a huge, huge, huge fan. And I've met them and hung out with them. And
Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So John Oates has this guitar, and it's kind of famous or infamous, but he has a, I just want to hold it. I just want to play it.
Which guitar?
He has this, and I don't even know if it sounds good or not, but just the lore behind it is intrigues the hell out of me. He has a Kari wood guitar. This is an ancient wood. It's 50,000 years old.
Oh, shit.
Have you heard of this?
Which country? Where is it from?
New Zealand.
Okay.
So it's buried during the Ice Age.
Wow.
And so it's in these frozen peat marshes out on some northern island in New Zealand. And they estimate about 2,000 years old before it got completely immersed. And then it's been another 50,000 years. And, you know, age is always the best friend of any kind of wood, especially when you're playing when you're making a guitar. Oh. So anyway, I don't know. It's supposedly the thing weighs like 15 pounds or something. I don't know. It's beautiful. The Kari wood, I think it's K-A-U-R-I. It has like a natural iridescence. It's very, very, very straight grain, supposedly. But it almost kind of glows.
That's so neat.
Anyway, I love it.
It's elf wood.
It's elfin wood, yeah. It's Middle Earth.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings wood. Yeah.
So I don't know. So if you could please give me that in with John Oates.
He's playing here February 11th at American Music Hall. And
really?
I am in the process of hoping to open for him. I don't know if that's going to happen, but if I do,
dude,
I will come by and ask.
Well, you know,
about
John
Kari.
Oates is a loyal listener of mostly music, so
I think I remember one fan.
I know you're listening. We got her right here, the local talent.
John Oates, check.
Dude, let's go to
the
show.
Can we contact you, Vincey?
Yes.
Is there anywhere we
please
can contact you? Where at?
You can find me on VincyVibe.com. V-I-N-C-I, like Leonardo Da, but no da. VincyVibe.com.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thanks. Excellent.
Ready, John.
No dick pics.
Balls in your court.
Yeah, no dick pics, please. I said
unless,
say that.
Unless they're
I?
Aesthetically pleasing.
Unless it's Daryl or John.
Well, we were talking about Kim Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Gordon. I think, was it 80s? Or mid 80s?
I think it was
when
the
they
80s.
Broke big.
Yeah.
When they started making a name for themselves on the scene.
Yeah.
Post-punk.
On the scene, yeah.
You know, flat wave, cold wave, shit like that. You know, no wave. And they started becoming more obscure. But she was just like one of the forefronts of like female vocalists that was so obscure that you just sit back in awe and listen to like the shit that they would do, because it was just very different. You're like, what am I looking at? You have to process it and like reflect back and be like, oh, they were changing the scene. And I wanted to play a track called I Dream off their, I want to say, first EP or first album. ¶¶
dreams come true. He's standing by the door. He's got something in his hands. All the money's gone. All the money's gone.
Very heavy.
I like
that. When a woman says fuck on a track, I'm sold.
I'm
fucking
have,
sold. The guys say fuck all the time. Fuck, 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 fuck. But when a woman says fuck and like her, she means it.
I just wrote a song for Early Monarchs and I used the word fuck me running.
Yeah.
It's called Drunk
I need
Running.
Two pillows. Two pillows to cover my girthy boner.
Here.
Wow.
That's cool, man.
Wow. Yeah. It's Kim Gordon's a very special person, like along the lines of Patti Smith.
Yes.
You know, same era. She came a little bit after Patti Smith, mm-hmm. but same. She kind of like grabbed the torch and not just ran with it, but started an inferno. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, she is god.
You can't compare her to anybody that came after her.
A god. A lot of people, I don't want to say artists, but a lot of basic artists try to emulate
mm-hmm.
her thing. Like, oh, I'm very obscure. I'm very mm-hmm. raw. But she was just being herself.
Mm-hmm.
Very real.
Yep.
You know, other people come like, oh, look at me. Like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As Lady Gaga. I mean, they made good music, but it's not there. It's not, you know, it's not natural like this.
Not as authentic as this.
Exactly. Yeah. Not as authentic.
I'm thinking of like Nico, you know, like.
Yeah.
Like she just.
Nico Case?
No, just.
No, Nico. No,
Nico.
Oh, I'm thinking of somebody else.
Velvet Underground and Nico.
But her solo album.
She didn't write her shit. I can tell you that right now. She was beautiful. She was a model. Beautiful to look at. Very sultry voice, very European, a part of the whole Andy Warhol.
She had like a weird voice that she couldn't not.
Yeah,
you know,
it was very French, very like European sounding.
German, right? Yeah,
yeah, whatever it was, she was. It was good, but unfortunately, it was a very curated piece
mm-hmm.
by Andy Warhol, making that happen.
Not always. I mean, yeah, during like you know with the Velvet Underground, but I'm talking.
Well, he made them. He hooked them up. He was like, oh, here. Velvet Underground, meet Nico. Let's do an album.
No, yeah.
Go ahead, speak on it.
No, I'm curious about the Early Monarchs, though. Now,
so this one is going to be in complete contrast to what we played of one of my tracks earlier, and this is from a most recent rehearsal earlier this week. So,
and this is the band you're going to be playing the show with
on February 9th. Yeah,
February 9th. All right. What's the name of this track?
This one's called Why.
We'll be right back.
Very different.
Sound like you're 6 foot four on that track.
Oh, right.
I got
on.
Lost.
Oh, I saw that.
Wow.
Wow.
That was. I gave Adam fair warning before you got here. I was like, just so you know, I know she's your friend, but I will criticize her if your shit sucks. And it's good.
Right,
it's
on,
very
man.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have no filter.
He would.
Zero filter.
I don't need a hanky for tears.
You
wow.
might,
no, that's good.
You might need a hanky for something else.
I was also thinking the same thing.
It's like you almost need to have like a backup male voice in there just to show how powerful your voice is.
Oh, right on. So, yeah. Thank you. Wow. Nice.
Like I could imagine you and Daryl Palumbo from Glassjaw doing a duet. That's how hard that is.
Wow.
It's fucking Daryl Palumbo's no joke. He's fucking from New York and he's hardcore. Screamo. Imagine him and that. That'd be fucking perfect. Wow. I'll text him later.
Yeah, why don't you get on that?
Okay, right? Like, hey, I gotta should do a duet.
So are you writing? You wrote this song?
I wrote the lyrics and the vocal parts,
and the melody and everything.
Yeah. I really, really love a lot of the music. I love the music from this band.
Yeah,
it's just different than everything I've done.
Yeah, it's
on my own. So
that's the dream, to have a female vocalist with any sort of like hard rock kind of band, just because you have a different sentiment and you come from it at a different angle, and the melodies are way more complex than I think. Or certainly that I could come up with, and most guys, you know, limited range unless you sing like Robert Plant or something. You know, it's kind of tough to
the God.
But no, that's really awesome.
All right.
But I'm curious. Like, does it affect your voice? Like, do you lose your voice after you sing a few of these tracks, or
you know,
how do you remedy that?
Does whiskey take
and
a
cigarettes.
Different
the worst
that,
idea
that used to be the meds. Yeah, I can't do that anymore. You know, I've had to be more conscious about the style of the way I sing. You know, with a rock project as opposed to a soul project. And it's been really neat seeing the differences. You know, I sing shorter, but harder. Mm-hmm. And then with, you know, the soul stuff is more, you know, you got to melt it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of work. And yeah, I do feel under my voice if I don't sing properly.
Yeah. So if you like do like the rock stuff for like a week and then you try to go straight into the sort of jazz,
you know,
is it does it affect that voice? Like there are two different voices there.
It is two different voices. Yeah. And I want to say that the new music that I'm writing for the soul aspect has even been more soul fully impact, which I was really surprised, because you know, it's so rock on this end that you know all the soul is like, you know, just getting pushed out on the Vincy and her groove sector, and it's getting more funked out, you know, as far as the, you know, picking up the pace in the soul aspect of things. So yeah,
so it's helping then. It's they're sort of informing each other now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And that's been so different, and it's been such an amazing discovery.
That's awesome.
You know,
it's good. They're constantly developing your skill and realizing what you're actually capable of.
Yeah,
you know, people are like, they realize they have this deep well, but they never even breach the surface of it. And artistically expressing yourself is fucking amazing.
My background's been very
you could really sing with a fucking hardcore band.
Thank you.
He sounds like
wow,
Cayetana.
Wow.
Remember Cayetana?
Yeah, but then you're not gonna have a voice after.
Yeah. Yeah.
You made one trick pony.
Yeah. Hot Dad Calendar. That's a really good track. You should listen to that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah, I like
Cayetana.
That.
Cayetana. Like their track's like called Hot Dad Calendar. should we
That's not super hardcore though. Right?
No, it's not. But it's considered like it's a very clean, like new age garage punk.
And that's an all female band.
All
right?
Female band.
Yeah. Well, no. So really that actually it reminds me of the Courtneys. I want to play a track from their new album that came out last year. It's in another all female band, and it's funny because I was thinking about Cayetana when I was listening to this album too. Very melodic, very sort of catchy.
Yeah.
But like. Playful, you know, which is fine.
Yeah.
Almost like old school, like Shangri-La's almost, you know?
Like the Slits almost for me.
Ooh, we're going to listen to that next.
Yeah.
Let's, you want to do a little Courtneys?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Tour off of their new album, Courtneys 2.
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's infectious.
It is.
It is.
Well, it's also light. Very
I've been singing that song all day, actually, in my
oh,
head.
Oh, right yeah. on. It feels
total,
good.
Total California sound and
it,
vibe.
It is, yeah.
Like, on the way to the beach, fuck the world.
That's, and the song is called Tour, so I'm assuming, it's exactly what I was thinking, because they're from Vancouver.
Okay.
But, you know, it's still northwest, obviously, but, so I could see that, because I know a lot of people from California will tour up and down the coast. So they'll mm-hmm. go to Oregon, Washington, Vancouver, and come mm-hmm. back. And so I could totally see them on PCH between Santa Barbara and LA, you know, just yeah. stoked on the wood. I don't know. But that's what you were thinking, too. That's
yeah,
kind of the same
yeah,
thing.
It's the sound.
I think it's so neat when music or bands can make you feel like you're driving. That's that feeling of driving. I mean, that's how I felt when I heard the song.
Freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Letting go.
Yes.
Leaving it in the past.
It's so neat.
Yeah, embracing the moment.
Not even yeah. bothering looking at the rearview
I mean, how
mirror.
Do you create yeah. that sound, that feeling that you're in the car when you're driving, you're listening to this awesome piece of music, and it's making you forget about everything in life.
It somehow
right?
does that, I think.
It
I don't,
does,
yeah.
and you yeah. know, it's such a gift when it happens in music, because it's, I mean, how do you capture that? I've done it. I think it's neat. Mm-hmm. I think it's, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, you could write 20 songs and you think you have it, but then yeah. there will be that one that comes up. You're like, oh shit, this is actually it.
Behind the wheel songs, yeah.
It kills it. Yeah,
love it.
Pet Sounds, Beach Boys,
in your room.
It's literally like well, mathematically sound.
Well, yeah. And the Beach Boys were so good because you know it was just pure darkness behind there. Like,
yeah,
they were singing about things that they weren't doing. Like yeah. I mean, their dad. Literally beat them, and especially Brian. I mean, Brian Wilson still can't hear in like one ear because his dad like threw him against a coffee table
oh, I didn't
or something.
Know it's from that. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I had no
it
idea.
Was
it was from
super
that.
Dark. That's why, like, wow. when you listen to like Beach Boys, aren't just what they sound
the
like, what they appear
pop.
To be.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and so when you know about like the darkness behind it, it makes them that much better. But on that note, we are going to take a quick break here. Low Spark's going to play us out with.
Let's talk about it when we come back, but I want to play one of my favorite female vocalists, Beth Gibbons.
This anybody? Mortal Coil?
Close. Portishead.
That was close.
She.
It's been a while.
Okay. They don't do a lot, mm-hmm. and it's sad, but they did do one of my favorite tracks called The Rip. It's very dark, it's very brooding, just like me.
We'll be back after this.
Fuck.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
And thank you, Sade.
Yes.
Those freckles kill me every time, man. Mm-hmm.
Never as good as the first time.
Nothing, yeah.
Mm. And thank you, Vincy, for suggesting this.
My pleasure.
That's not more like... She's not really a siren. She's more of a...
She's a goddess.
Goddess.
She's very ethereal, ethereal afterlife kind of figure. You know what I mean?
If you're lucky and you're
if
good
you're lucky.
And you go to a good place.
I'll be good.
I just got chills.
I'll be really good.
For her, yes.
I'll be anything she wants me to be.
Yes. Where's Sade from?
She's
Nigeria.
She's Nigeria, but raised in England. Yeah.
That's where the accent comes from.
Yeah. It's an English band. Kind of like, was it Heatwave? They're like Jamaican, but raised in England. Anyways.
They were?
Yeah.
Really?
He, the lead singer, I think it was Jamaican and raised in England. So he had that very...
I thought they're from here.
Kind of, no, Heatwave? No, they're English.
Wow. No, I didn't know.
I might be thinking...
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
no, Sade, fuck, yeah, man. She's been doing it. Like, what was my quote earlier? If you haven't fucked a Sade, then you probably never had sex before. It's facts. Yeah.
It's probably true. Yeah.
She's responsible for more children out of wedlock than any other person besides Santana.
More than a broken condom. That's all. Yeah. That should be the name of her next album. Oh, Keith Wilder died on Halloween, looks like, last year.
Keith Wilder?
From the Heatwave, the lead singer.
Yeah. He's from Jamaica, raised in Europe? Right? Germany?
Well, the band was England? Formed in London. I'm not sure about his origin. I'm sorry. I didn't come prepared.
Yeah. Well, happy belated birthday to Sade.
Ooh, when was her birthday?
Yesterday?
2 days ago. Or the day before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, happy birthday, Sade. I know you're a loyal listener as well.
I bake her a cake every day. She asked me to.
It was funny. Rhodes, I follow Rhodes on Instagram, and they threw a picture of her up and wishing her happy birthday and whatnot, and I commented with something about a goddess, so it's funny we both said that.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. She is.
She is.
Oh, yeah. January 16th, a couple days ago. Yes.
Yes.
That is a...
Capricorn. Is it a cap? I think it's cap.
Is she touring? We should go. No,
she's not touring. I was desperately trying to get in there a couple of years, several years ago when she was over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I didn't know her real name is Helen.
Yeah.
And it's actually very suiting because, you know,
Helen
the face.
Of Troy.
Yeah, the face that launched a thousand ships. Yeah.
Another.
Very siren-esque.
Another Odysseus reference.
Nice.
Siren.
Well, with that voice that launched a million ships, maybe. I don't know. It's good enough for me.
Well, she used to be a model.
Really?
Yeah.
She still could be.
Yes. She's a great example of a women heroine music mentorship.
Yeah.
There's not that. She fronts her own band. I mean, it's under Sade, but her band members help her write the music as well.
Yeah, it's a co-op.
Yeah.
They all chip in. Well, I mean, the rhythm side, that bass line is just so, it's so much funk.
It's super clean.
Such a dirty, perfect bass line.
I bought that bass because of him.
Really?
Dennison.
Is it a P bass?
Dennison.
What is
no,
it?
It's a Stingray. Yeah, and then I got into an accident, so I couldn't pick up the heavy bass anymore. My shoulder. God, I love that sound of the bass.
You play bass, too?
I was trying to play the bass before I got to my
accident.
We're
going to need a third pillow.
I know women bass players, man. There's something else to that.
Just put a shoe on it. No, it's funny. It's I've always had this thing. I've known a lot of bass players, and bass players to me have always been the most boring people
what?
I've ever met. They're the most boring person in the band, personally, like on a social level, and they have the worst taste in music.
Oh my god, that is so not my experience. It's funny to hear you say that.
It's weird. I've known a lot of bass players in my life. It's like, dude,
as have I.
Boring. I'm like dying right now.
You know, I find them more soft-spoken.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like
that's boring for me.
All the other, yeah, because they gotta hold down the, you know, the rhythm.
Yeah.
The undertone.
Very important,
you know,
role.
Of the
I'm
moment.
Not dismissing
they're,
the role.
They're the loudest
band,
member of the band. Yeah.
I mean, the most rambunctious bass player of all time, the Flea.
Yes.
I'd go with Rick Danko myself. Okay. But, you know, and he has a much better voice.
Victor Wooten. Who's going to be here? Are you going to go see him?
Really? Where is
he? I think
he,
he's playing. I don't remember where.
Victor Wooten's crazy. He's got like an 8-string bass. That guy's nuts.
Jesus.
You know.
Samurai. Hi.
Yeah. That's a one-man band. You know what? I'd love to see him. I'm sure that'd be an experience. That would be a hell of a show.
I think so, too.
In the city?
Yeah, I think it's... Oh, wait. No, was it the parish? It might be at the parish.
Oh, in the mission?
No, that's the chapel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what's parish the parish?
Parish is in Oakland.
Oh,
right?
Got it.
I don't recall.
Never been.
A different diocese. Sorry.
Different town.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Pope? Are you engaging some Pope talk? Sinead!
Ooh, Sinead.
Yeah. That was the good Sinead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she ripped up that picture of the Pope on SNL.
I think that's what I was thinking of when I made that comment.
Did you see so where she was on stage at a folk country concert and she got booed?
What was she doing there?
She was just...
Why
trying
did they
to perform.
Book her?
I think she was the only thing she
recently
could get.
Or
no, this
after
was like
that,
right after SNL.
Yeah.
And then Kris Kristofferson had to come on stage and
split
her off and like hold her up.
Oh,
she
I heard
like,
about that.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, he's a badass.
He was like, fuck you.
And he appreciated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck the Pope. For real. Seriously. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's bring
unless
it back.
It's Jude
bring
Law.
It back.
Unless it's.
the oh young, my god, that the young
pope.
Show.
Unless it's the Pope that consoled Al Pacino in Godfather 3. Oh, fuck you.
who was it that came on SNL like the week after? It was like Joe Pesci, and he just was like, he was pissed. He was so pissed, I think it was.
He's a Catholic?
Yeah, of course. He's Italian. You know.
Half Jew, half Catholic. Anyways.
this is getting weird.
I'm gonna put in a track. This is gonna be my last track for the night.
Really?
My favorite female singer, literally, for the past, like, 20 years. I would know more than that. 25 years. Bjork.
Yes!
Yeah. Like, my dad, I remember the story, I told you this before. My dad used to watch Saturday Night Live religiously. And then one night, I guess I was sleeping, and he comes in the room and is like, hey, come here, I want you to watch this. And he pulls me out, and there's, like, the live music segment of Saturday Night Live. And he's like, watch this. This is music. This is really good stuff. And you see Matthew Broderick.
I love Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. He introduces the band. He's the host of the night. And he's like, and now the Sugar Cubes.
Mm. All right.
And you see Bjork on stage, like, you know, late teens, whatever, just fucking killing it.
Yeah, she was young.
And I was watching. I was like, this is fucking weird. I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in life, you know, I started to understand it more. Hear her first album, solo artist album. And then in my teens, late teens, I would take ecstasy and listen to her music alone in my room.
Whoa.
And paint and draw and stuff. I was a weirdo. Yeah, it was bad. And
sounds pretty good.
There's this one song, just the sound of it, it just sucks you in and then blows you out. It's just amazing. And it's just, it's funny because for me, she's perfect. But in a lot of her music, she's lacking within herself. You know what I mean? Like, she talks about what she's missing, what the void that she has. And this is possibly maybe from her post album.
As much as I definitely enjoy solitude.
You have a pillow.
Yeah. You know, it's just...
I'm out.
Dude, like, if you've experienced music, I get it. But when you take mind-altering drugs, stuff that you can feel... That's why I loved you doing ecstasy when I was younger, because you can feel, like, the notes and get drawn into it. Same with mushrooms. You know, same with edibles. And just listening to the music on an altered state of mind is very different. And it, like, it becomes, you become one with it, and you get lost. It's kind of dangerous, you know. So I just fucking draw, paint, write.
It's a good kind of danger.
Yeah, she was my muse. She's always been my muse.
Oh yeah.
My most creative things have come from her singing in the background. She's my soundtrack, you know.
That is so cool.
Turn this up. She hits it.
Nice.
Yeah,
probably not. It's good, man. Possibly. Fuck yeah.
She's living it open ended. You never know.
Nice.
Full exposed. Like, people are like, she's very private. She's very, like, you know, she recoils from, like,
she lives in
questions.
A volcano. Yeah.
But everything you need to know, everything you need to know about her, is in her lyrics. Like,
yep.
She's literally just open book.
Well, that's the thing. She's very inspirational in the sense, like, if you're trying to be creative, you look at her and just, like, she's not... everybody's influenced by everything around them, but it almost seems like she's coming from a bubble. Like,
she won't compromise her style.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Never has, never will.
Nope.
I don't think she's ever apologized for anything.
No.
She doesn't need to.
No. I'll apologize for her.
I won't.
Just let me do something. Let me apologize.
Every time I hear her voice, it just takes you back. Mm-hmm. Takes you back to that time where you're just like, you're very unstable and fragile.
Yes.
Yet wild and like dangerous at the same time.
And it's not even just the nostalgia value, because sometimes you can listen to old albums and it's just because you were at a different age, but because we just listened to her newest album that came out just a couple months ago.
Utopia,
And that, I felt the exact same way. You know, she transports you into a different feeling, a different realm of emotion. Yeah, I don't know.
I think the only one that's been able to capture that visually was the artist Michel Gondry, like the director for her music videos. Mm-hmm. Like, he can capture her song and put it on film. Perfect.
Did he do Human Behavior?
No, he didn't. I think that's one of the ones he didn't do. Human Behavior came out before Michel Gondry became a thing.
Well, I mean, he'd been around for a while.
He did do Human Behavior. I'm not sure.
What year was that?
That was 90.
It's possible.
Debut was 94.
Oh, really?
I want to say. Yeah, I want to say 94.
He's kind of like Spike Jonze, like start off doing his videos.
Yeah.
Well, he did Skate
when he did
films and stuff. Yeah.
What's that song where the robots are fucking? What's the name of that song?
Army of Me?
No, it's
I love that song. What was that?
The love song.
Yeah.
But this looks like he created this like super seat. It's like these robots are fucking each other and making love.
What was that song called?
It's the love song.
Yeah, I remember the video. I remember some of the notes, but I don't remember.
All is full of love.
Oh,
all
is
full of love.
That's that's it. Yeah. Fuck, man. That video, you're just like, I'd watch that premiere on MTV. I'm like, what the fuck? Dude.
I like the same thing.
Changing the game.
Changing
robots are fucking now. Everyone's fucking. Everything is fucking.
Well, we actually had that conversation earlier off air. As humans fucking robots, though.
The
robots fucking themselves hasn't happened yet.
That we know of.
And as a thanks for you being a guest on the show, we got you a Hitachi. You plug it into the wall. Did you bring the Hitachi? No?
Is that a vibrator?
Yeah. You don't know what a Hitachi is?
Well, Hitachi Palafox makes a lot of different things.
Yes, okay. A lot of electrical things.
Right.
You plug it into the wall. You don't need no batteries. Mm-hmm. Just plug it into the wall.
You know when it rumble like Howard Stern used to, and just sit on the subwoofer and pull your skirt up?
You don't even need to pull your skirt up.
That's true. Yeah, I do have a subwoofer here. It's not very big, though. So. But I have a deep voice, so maybe I can hit the low notes. Yeah, you might be. That's literally, right? I think of private parts. I think of that movie.
Yeah. I'm spent. That was my last track.
Well, okay. To do a complete 180, there's a woman named Esther Suarez. You familiar with her? No.
Not yet.
No. She's a Peruvian. She sings it's a Huayno singer. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. H-U-A.
H-U-A.
Y-N-O. It's a
Huayno?
Yeah. It's a sort of a folkloric musical tradition in Peru, in the rural mountainous areas of Peru. And she's been around since like the 70s, maybe even a little bit before. It's very folkish, you know, but in a very Peruvian sense. And there was a great migration in the 60s, 70s, and 80s mm-hmm. from the rural to the cities and everything. And so, and because of that, we were able to sort of save these traditions. And she was recorded in 70s, 80s, but I just want to play a little something called Amor Bonito. And it's all, which means beautiful love,
mm-hmm.
but it's all native instruments and everything too. Very, well, let's just play it.
That's fucking beautiful. It's perfect.
I love this. I love it. I could listen to this all day, and I have been, actually.
Yeah. Masturbating to already your poetry.
Well,
his hand's tired.
Give me a break, will you? This is Esther Suarez from Caminos Cruzados.
It's the
crossroads, right?
Peruvian.
Have you not been paying attention? Welcome back.
Sorry. I was texting cream cheese ice cream.
There is no texting on this show. Anyway, this came out in 2000, but I believe it's all pre-recorded. But anyway, go out there and support her, please.
Interesting. Okay.
It's
Oh, she is speaking Spanish. I just understood what she was saying. Totally had that wall. That's weird.
What the hell? Where have you been?
So the thing is, with music... No. With music, hear me out first. Don't criticize. I hear sound, melody, and then eventually I get into substance, lyrics, and meaning. First it comes in this cacophony of sound. Quote, unquote. Palafox.
This isn't a cacophony. This is almost lullaby-ish, you know. It's very intimate. God, I don't know. She just sounds super hot. I'm sorry.
You love those brown babies.
Hey. Show some respect.
All right. That's good. That was very good. Yes. I appreciated that.
Yes. Yes. Sort of lost to time. This came from an email we had. From a loyal listener. And I thank you, Mike from Philly. Turn me on to Esther Suarez, and I'm a better man for it. So, once again, please email us anything. Thoughts, suggestions at mostlymusicpodcast@gmail.com.
Dick pics.
Let us know. Dick pics. If you must, I guess.
I would love to get into another track that you brought, like something else. Maybe you want to pick something that really hits, something that inspires you on the daily. Maybe something that brings back the past. I don't know.
I've been listening to Boss Gags, but he's not really female.
Not a female. Not allowed. This is a girls only night.
Oh, you know what?
Ladies night.
So on my Spotify.
Green and Gold.
There's I love her too.
I don't know. Yeah.
Leanne LaHavis. She's an artist from England, and I really, really enjoy the British music scene over ours. And she's one of the R&B artists that's out there. Barack Obama, President Obama, loved her.
Leanne LaHavis.
Yeah. Ooh. She's really cool.
Yeah, this is new to me.
New to me.
All right, this is Green and Gold.
Yeah. She's on tour. She's been on perpetual tour, I think, for the last couple of years. I follow her on Instagram. And she also covers my favorite, Radiohead. She does a rendition of Weird Fishes, and I wound up doing a version of my own.
Wow.
Yeah, which it just felt akin to her in that regard.
Wow.
And then there's another woman. She's not from England. Her name is Candace Springs. I think she might be from Philly. I was in D.C. Over one of the holidays, and I caught her over in Blues Alley in D.C., and I wind up sitting next to her cousin or something like that. But I was surprised to find out that we share a few covers in common. And she did a rendition of People Make the World Go Round. You know that song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then she inspired me to... I'm going to cover this one, but it's called... it's from War. Yeah. The World is a Ghetto. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She killed it with a trio, so...
You want to get into that? Yeah, let's...
Yeah, you can take a listen to that. I think she's going to be on the new Robert Glasper album.
Oh.
Do you guys know who he is?
Robert Glasper.
He is amazing. I discovered him a few years ago. He, his album Radio Days or Black Radio, I can't remember what it's called, but there's a bunch of people on it, and I think it won an award that year.
Black,
a Grammy.
Black Radio, yeah.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's going to be on his next album. Yeah.
Well, let's do a little Candace Springs, The World is a Ghetto.
It is.
Walking down the street, the sky, starry-eyed, searching for the place, weary-eyed, crying in the night, teary-eyed. Don't you know it's true that for me and for you, the world is a ghetto. Don't you know that it's true, yeah, that for me and for you, the world is a ghetto.
Can you get down to that?
If you can't, there's something wrong with
that. Right?
Fuck Nora Jones.
We were talking about Nora Jones off air.
But Candace Springs plays keys.
Candace also. Springs. I think like she might have been classically trained. And she played the piano a lot when I saw her. And she's just amazing. She's being supported by Lenny Kravitz. I think Lenny Kravitz went to see her in Paris, maybe? This is several months ago. And then she made it onto my favorite Daryl Hall's Live at Daryl's. So she
we gotta go to this Daryl Hall show.
Oh my god.
Or no,
is it John Oates or Daryl?
John Oates. John Oates show.
No, it's
John
Daryl.
Oates show is February 11th at American Music Hall.
We gotta go.
We
gotta go.
I'm gonna take that guitar. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John. I'm telling you in advance.
I did backstage at the Hollywood Bowl 1 year for Hall and Oates, and I got to hold Daryl's 57 Gibson. Ugh. That thing was like, oh.
But John has that like 59 Strat though, also that I really want to see.
You can talk to him.
God damn it. Yeah,
I'll get
right.
you in.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll talk to John. You can talk to Daryl. Cool.
When do you perform next? I mean, I try to do at least one live show a week.
Wow, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I've been focused on the early Monarch stuff, but that's going to be the next show. My personal stuff, I don't have anything booked right now, but I'm all over Pandora and Spotify.
Remind us that Early Monarch show though. Yeah.
Early Monarchs is going to be at Toots Tavern in Crockett on February 9th.
Dude, we gotta go.
February 9th. Yeah, and I think we're the first on. Yeah, I think it's going to be neat.
Oh, fuck yeah,
be there.
Catch a buzz really early in the day and then fucking sit back and
I'll buy you a Manhattan. to begin.
Yeah. Right.
A couple Manhattans. Well, I will. You're driving, but
well, we're going to Uber. I don't know what you're talking about.
We're going to go see Candace Springs after that. Although, Leanne LaHavis, so actually, I'm a little bit more smitten by her.
She's
They're
badass.
Both the same age. I didn't realize. They're
oh,
both,
really?
They're both young. They're both way younger than their voice would make you think. They're 28 years old. That's impressive.
Yeah.
1989, I guess that was a good year. I don't know. Who knew?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just looking at pictures of...
No, it's all good. Yeah, they're worth looking at for sure. I don't blame you.
I think we're coming to a halt. You gotta go to work.
Oh, and then some. Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Perfect show.
Yeah, it was a good show.
Perfect show.
You guys give good show.
Yeah, they don't call me the mouth for nothing. Anyways.
What else do you do with that?
Yeah. Actually, they call me La Boca. Anyways. I know you were adverse to this. I know you wanted to outro to Emmy Lou.
We are going to outro to Emmy Lou.
You wanted to outro to...
To what?
Dolores Oriordan. Come on, man.
She died.
Give it to her. Emmy Lou is always going to be around. Emmy Lou is always going to be on the playlist, on the docket.
And she's going to be on the docket tonight.
Son of a bitch. I'll give it to you. Thanks for the Manhattans, by the way.
Of course. That's my job. Well, I have many jobs, but, you know, what are you going to do? Thank you once again for joining us.
Ow.
And thank you, Vinci, for
thank you.
Gracing
Perfect.
Us with your presence and
thank you, mostly
legitimizing
music.
This entire operation.
Low Spark, Ignatius, all the way.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for the perpetual boners.
And sorry to all the female artists we just did not get to. We have so many. This is going to be
so many fucking
this is going to be an annual or biannual or triennial show. We're going to have.
How
to
about
do.
Next week?
There's, yeah, all right.
I am. Shit, I'll make time.
You'll see us next week. from San Francisco, California, I am Ignatius Palafox.
Still the Low Spark.
Vinci Vibe.
And this is Emmy Lou Harris, Feeling Single. This morning.